Congress has another week to work before a recess. It hasn't had the most productive session in history. The autumn may not provide much of a burr under its saddle. And a retiring senator calls for the return of earmarks. Joining me with a look ahead, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. And David, this last week, will that be productive, do you think? You're not even putting a question mark on the fact that you don't think it's going to be productive in the fall.
I don't think it's going to be productive in the fall. I suppose it's going to be minimally productive in these last 3-4 days before Congress recesses for a record 7 weeks. It's the longest summer break that they've taken in more than the 30 years that I've been here. There will be a couple of things that they will do that will be notable, I'm not sure historic, nothing like what you normally get in the run-up to an August recess. Usually July is when sort of the big thing of the year happens. That's not going to be the case this year. They will do a one-year extension of the Federal Aviation Administration authorization. That was once going to be a grand bill that was going to maybe privatize air traffic control and do lots of other sort of very aspirational things that would have maybe made it into the kind of the congressional history books. Now it's just a one-year can kick, essentially. They might do an opioid bills to fight the opioid addiction epidemic and to address some federal programs for serious mental health. These are important things, but again, not for the history books, and those are not a sure thing, whereas that FAA thing is a sure thing because the authorization for the FAA expires at the end of the week. So a few things, but nothing grand.
What about the defense authorization bill for 2017? There's a House and Senate version. They haven't had reconciliation yet, though.
True. The negotiations are just really in the formative stages. There was some grand optimistic talk a few weeks ago that I think you and I chatted about them getting it done before the summer. That is definitely not going to happen. I think they are now effectively talking about doing it, probably not even in September, probably in the lame duck session, but it will get done. The NDAA has been really the exception that proves the rule about congressional dysfunction. It's gotten done every year without fail since, I think, 1962. So sooner or later it'll happen. It looks like it's going to be John McCain's last year as the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and he's not going to go out on the note of not getting it done.
And unlike probably the Clintons, Harry Truman really was flat broke when he left office back in 1953, had to borrow money ahead of his memoir advance to make ends meet. But now Congress has moved to ease that pension needs, if there is any, of former presidents. First time they've updated this since 1958.
That's right. This is legislation that it looks like President Obama is likely to sign, which would it wouldn't cap the outside earnings of former presidents, but it would shave back on the pension above a certain amount for every dollar that a former president earned above that magic number. This is somewhat a poke at the Clintons because obviously Bill Clinton has been highly successful as a speechmaker, if nothing else, in his former presidential years. It's also probably a little bit of a poke at President Obama or a little bit of a fiscal prudence because President Obama will be one of the younger former presidents in modern history when he leaves office in January. So this is it has a fiscal austerity component to it and a political austerity component to it, and it looks like it's going to become law.
And finally, I wanted to ask you about your column. It was a couple of weeks ago, but it really caught my eye, and that is regarding Barbara Mikulski in kind of her farewell markup session. She called unabashedly for the return of earmarks, and I thought that her reasoning wasn't all that bad.
No, I think her reasoning is solid. It's just that, and I think it is reasoning that is shared by many members of Congress. It's just that they're not retiring yet, so they don't feel like they can sort of speak political truth to power or even political truth to themselves. Essentially, what she is saying, it's a twofold point, is members of Congress know what their constituents need as well as the federal bureaucrats. She says that the money, when earmarks happen, they don't increase the overall size of the pie. It's just Congress asserting its control over tiny slices of the pie. And sort of most importantly, probably for those of us who watch Congress closely, it makes earmarks make the process work. You can use all the puns you want about bacon grease and so forth, but they do. Earmarks allow the appropriations bills to get done much more easily, because if you're a member of Congress from either party, who you can always find a reason to vote against a bill, and you can always find a reason to say it spends too much or not enough. But if there is a project for your constituents in that bill, you're going to be much less likely to oppose it. And I think the records do show that before earmarks effectively went away, almost 5 years ago now, many more bills got enacted each year. And that was in no small measure because a lot of members of Congress had projects in those bills that they were willing to swallow hard and accept a bill they didn't like because it had a project in there that they did like.
The lubrication metaphor is a good one. In effect, they have let the engine seize for lack of a can of oil.
There you go. You're better at the metaphors than I am, and you didn't even use bacon grease.
All right, David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.